Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 22. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain, or which of the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus say unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, but ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. The background of this parable is to be found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27. Jesus had previously, in this chapter, entered triumphantly into Jerusalem with great joy of the crowd. He had run the money changers out of the temple, and he had denounced the fig tree so that it withered. The chief priests and the elders of the people wanted to know by what authority he was doing these things. Jesus responds to this questioning with a question. The baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or from men? They knew the dilemma they were in and said, We know not. If they admitted that the baptism of John was from heaven, the Lord was going to say, Why did not you obey him? If it would prove Jesus to be the Son of God, for John said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The parable of the two sons is not an answer to their hypocritical question, but it is a response to their defiant and rebellious attitude. They had a problem with the authority of God. This parable is a mirror in which those to whom Jesus speaks might see themselves as they truly are. Notice Matthew 21, verse 28 again. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. In the parable of the two sons, the man with the two sons in this parable is God. The sons equate with those whom God has called to be his children. Jesus asks, What think ye? This ability separates us from the animal world. We have the ability to reason within ourselves. God is trying to appeal to us through his word. Thus, we must learn to think and reason correctly. Man has the choice of two destinies, and choice it is. We are not made to go to heaven. We are not made to go to hell, but we have the choice. There is the broad way and the narrow way, and many are going by the broad way and few the narrow way. But you need to understand that it is indeed a narrow way. I've used this likeness before, that when I was in the 7th and the 8th grade, I had a coach. His name was Joe Golden. Joe Golden was 6'6" and at least 350 pounds. He was an exceedingly large man. If you think this is large, you haven't seen Joe Golden. He was driving every day. Do you remember what the Honda Civic used to be when it first came out? It looked like Joe Golden could lift up his car and drag it behind him. He was a big man. But how did he get into that car? I assure you, I never did see him get in, but I know he was big enough to know there was only one way. He would have to fold himself up and place himself in and sit down and then swing his legs in. There's no other way he could have got in. I've had to do that myself in in cars I've had to drive. Pickup's a little bit different. But a car, you just basically have to sit down and swing yourself in. One way. There's no other possible way for him to get in. And so it is with heaven, the kingdom of heaven. There's only one way. And you can be sure that through those straits those places in the ocean where we call them straits, that you're very careful which way you go in, lest you hit the rocks. They call them straits because there's only one way to go. You can't go in sideways. You've got to go straight through, just as it is with this narrow way. The rock and the sand are the two builders. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, there are two destinies. There is heaven and hell. And one decides that he's going to obey the will of God and build his house upon the rock. The other, he's just going to do it the way he feels best. And he ends up washed away. One was wise, one was foolish. The wheat and the chaff, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, one is put into the barn, the other is blown away in the wind. There's the good and the bad in the dragnet, Matthew 13, verses 47 through 50. One is suitable for human consumption. The others are thrown back and not taken into the home. The wise and the foolish virgins, Matthew 25, one was prepared, the other was not prepared. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the sheep and the goats, Jesus or the Lord divided the sheep from the goats, and one was blessed and the other was not. In our present study, Jesus used the example of the parable of the two sons to illustrate the two opposite courses that people have taken in response to God's call through the gospel. The Father's calling of his sons calls attention to Jesus' statement in John chapter 6 and verse 44. Turn with me there, please. John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come unto me, Jesus says, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Father does the drawing. He does it by the scheme of redemption. He does it by the gospel plan for our salvation. This drawing or calling is accomplished through the teaching process. John 6, verses 45 and 46. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Learned of the Father, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, tells us about how we receive faith, how we acquire faith, how faith is found in us. The Apostle Paul writes, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are taught the gospel. We are taught the truth. Individuals are called by the gospel. You know, sometimes I wonder why we mention this. It's kind of obvious to us all. But there is a doctrine that we often had to knock down before we lead people to the cross. And that is that we are called directly by the Holy Spirit. That we are called directly by some miraculous means. We had a dream. We saw a vision. We saw something amazing. There was a miracle one night. You remember the movie about Sergeant York, how that he was struck by lightning and then heard the voices coming from the church building and went in and got religion. That's not how the Bible tells us that we come to God. We're not coming because of some bright light that we saw, or we were touched by an angel or something of this nature. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14 clears it up. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is a body of doctrine. A body of doctrine that is true. a body of doctrine that leads you out of the station of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. It is a body of doctrine that leads you to heaven. The Lord's church, the called, is composed of those who have been called out of sin and into the way of Christ, and we are admonished to make our calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Let's lay our eyes on the passage. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Do what things? Add to your faith virtue, verse 5, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give diligence. And what do you do to give diligence? Well, you obey the gospel. The Father's call to go carries the idea of authority. If he expected his children to obey, then there was authority behind that voice. The phrase work today is likened with urgency, and the vineyard equates with the sphere of work into which God's children have been called. The Father's invitation was impartial, an invitation to work in the vineyard, but not just any vineyard, it was the Father's vineyard. Our attention is now directed to the response of his first son. Matthew chapter 21, verse 29. Matthew 21, verse 29. He answered and said, I will not. This first son, like so many of every generation, sought at first to evade his responsibility to do what is right. Evading responsibility does not remove it, however. Evading responsibility just gets it away from your sight so you don't think about it so much. This son was not hypocritical. He was just stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, like so many of us have been in time past. The first son in this parable did not obey his father's command until he regretted, relented, and repented of his rebellious spirits. He represented the publicans and the harlots in verse 1 in the passage before. There will come a time when we will not be able to change our minds. It's not how one has lived in the past that counts, but what we're doing now. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Turn with me in your Bible, please. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, the Apostle Paul writes, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He left some things behind, some things perhaps he regretted doing. You know, the Apostle Paul was just a bit like this son. I will not. I'm sure he said when he was looking at Stephen preaching before the Sanhedrin, I will not, as he travels toward Damascus. And then the Lord sees him. The Lord, just before he gets to the city of Damascus, says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And Paul changed his tune. Lord, what would you have me to do? This son, like so many, failed to show proper respect. He failed to recognize the authority of his father, to see that his father wanted the best for him, to see the need to submit to the father. Then there's the second of the two sons. Back to our text, Matthew 21 and verse 30. Matthew 21, verse 30. And he came to the second, and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir. And then he went not. This son represented the audience to which Jesus here spoke. They had promised to accept the Messiah, but when he came, they rejected him. The Jews in general rejected Jesus, especially the leadership. And their hypocrisy, they pretended respect for God, calling him sir or lord or master. Notice Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Notice the striking contrast in Luke 7, verses 29 through 30. Luke 7, verses 29 through 30. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. They simply refused. They rejected the counsel of God. They did it to themselves. The road to hell has always been paved with good intentions. Good intentions are not enough, however. It's not just enough to pledge obedience. There must be self-control. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have to control ourselves. You remember those dark days when your parents were upset with you? Perhaps you disobeyed your teacher in school and you knew you were going to get it when you got home. This was even before the days of instant email where your teacher could email you before you even got home. No, the teacher sent a note. Those were fearsome things, weren't they? You had to actually take the note yourself and hand it to your parents so that they could do something about it and to you. You know what all that was for, though? It was so that you and me, that we would control ourselves and not have to do that anymore. We learned our lessons. We learned our lessons so well, we became citizens. Citizens that our parents could be proud of, and if they couldn't be, well, those were dark days once again. Some kids never learn the lesson, and they end up in prison or worse, but most of us did. And so we vote when we need to vote, and we stop when the police officer says pull over. We do those things that we need to do in order to be good citizens. In self-control, so must Christians be. We must endure. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. I don't know if you have ever thought about endurance as a matter of self-control. I remember the last year of my high school. It was the slowest several months of my life. I did not want to go to high school. I did not like high school at all. I did not like who I had to be around. I did not like being taught by the teachers things I thought I didn't need to know. I didn't like any of it. I was in athletics on the football team, and believe it or not, the track team, because I did not want to be in gym class. Basically, that was the reason. And so it was, I endured until it was over. And then, believe it or not, Mom made me go to graduation. Think about that. She viewed it as her endurance and as her prize because she got me through high school. Wouldn't let me quit. We learn to endure. We learn to that there's a time when this will end. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, it's easy to read those words until you put yourself in Paul's place. Paul is in prison, and he is waiting to be executed. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We must endure until death. Both of these sons had the same father. Both of these sons had the same instructions, the same opportunities, the same love. There is no need to be in the vineyard if one will not work. Work is required. Obedience is required. When we find those things that we know we have to do, do we say, I'm not going to do it, and then regret it and go back and go to work? That was the one that's praised in this situation. But the one who said, I'll do it, and then just gives up. There's no praise worthy in that. Matthew 21, verse 31, back to our text. Matthew 21, verse 31. Whether of them twain, or which of these two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. The Lord put the heat on them by asking, which of the two did the will of the father? This is the heart of the parable. Not which intended to do the will of the father, but which did the will of the Father. They understood the parable and answered correctly, saying the first. The Lord's audience here convicted themselves by their own answer because they were disobedient. They were instructed by Jesus and his apostles, confirming it by miracles and wonders and signs that God had a will for them. And they said, no. Jesus said, publicans and the harlots, go into the kingdom of God before you. Jesus is not here condoning or justifying the prior sinful behavior of these, but is emphatically emphasizing the essentiality for all men to repent. Repentance makes it possible for one to enter the kingdom of heaven. In the parable of the two sons, we learn that God has a right to request that his children do certain things. We learn as well that man has a free moral agency. We can choose. There is something to do to be saved. God does not force us to obey. Lip service is not pleasing to God. When one is rebellious, God expects him to repent. God is concerned with what we have become, not what we were. So many times we ask the question, have I gone too far? Have I gone so far into sin that I can't go back? I know from the Scriptures that there are those that have gone too far. Those who will say that the miracles that Jesus did were by the power of Beelzebub. That's one instance where that happens. Hearts become so hard that they can't come back. But those asking the question, have I gone so far that I can't go back? The answer is no. The answer is in this particular parable. One said, I will not, and then he went. Kind of simple, isn't it? There may be a period in your life, maybe it ends right now, that you said, no, I'm not going to do it the Lord's way. But you now realize the necessity to do that. You can ask God for forgiveness if you are today a Christian, but if you're not, you need to be baptized for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of your sins. That's an obedience to God. Something that He has given you to do in order for you to be saved. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of sins? Are you willing to confess Christ before men and to be baptized for the remission of your sins? You can change your state from a rebellious son to one who goes to the vineyard and goes to work and is faithful unto death and has a place waiting for him when his life is over. If we can help you with your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?